Praise the Lord, this is Pastor Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible. However, today I'm going to have a special message for churches. And this message has to do with truthfulness, genuineness, exactness. All Christians must be truthful, genuine, exact, absolutely. And we have several letters here and a phone room response. But right now, let's go to the throne of the Lord and ask him to pour out the outward anointing, which is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, for the ministering of the Lord's word by the Lord himself through his chosen ministerial servants here on earth. Father God, we ask that you open the windows of heaven and pour out your Spirit, your outward anointing Spirit, so that the inward anointing of the salvation that we have within the Lord Jesus Christ, with you, Father, and the Holy Spirit, will grow to the fullness of the stature of you, Father God, of Christ, Father God. We ask that you open up every spirit so that they, their spiritual ears are open to hear the truth and receive it and do something with it to let you live your life out in them. And we pray that you'll open their spiritual eyes, that they will be able to see you, Lord. No man can see God and live. That's why we all must go to the cross and die out, that our flesh be mortified, so that we're not walking in the flesh any longer, that we're walking in the Spirit, and then we ourselves are in essence dead, and therefore we can see you, and we can hear you, and we can also keep your commandments, because your Spirit, you, Father, you, Lord Jesus, with the Father by the Spirit, are in us, and you are then able, as we surrender our entire life unto you, you're able to live out your life and do the work of the God in and through us. And that's how the real work of God is done. Not in religions, not by people, but by people that have given their lives over as sacrifices, which is acceptable, totally acceptable, and our reasonable duty, because you gave your life for us, we need to give our lives over to your will. Your kingdom come here on earth, Lord, and your will be done. Folks out in Radio Land, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The Lord will speak this evening. Lord, we thank you and praise you and give you all the glory in Jesus' name. And everyone says amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. All right, now where are the first letters from or the phone room response?
A witnessing line response from Darby, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
A man that is saved called from Upper Darby, Pennsylvania, to say that he got the Earthquake World newsletter on a train that he was riding on. He saw that within the newsletter that another man had received two other editions of Pastor Lama's literature called Another Pearl Harbor and Evil One World Government Agents Are Claiming to Be United States Agents, which he wants to get copies of. He said so positively, quote, yes, exclamation point, this is it, exclamation point.
You know, Another Pearl Harbor is a piece of literature that the Lord gave me, which clearly shows how that when the governments, the One World Government, wants to put everything under its power, what it does is it loves to start wars. It loves to destroy nations. And so what happens is they deliberately allowed Japan to be, or Pearl Harbor to be bombed by the Japanese. And then this World Trade Center situation just happened to be another Pearl Harbor, because the Vatican is using the United States of America to take over all the different countries in the world so that Satan, that powers the Vatican, the One World Government, cult, and media, has got his last shot at running the world, even though Satan knows that his time is short. He knows that he's going to be in hell on the lake of fire soon, and all his evil angels that follow him and all the people of the world that follow him, they're full of rage at the Word of God because they know that the Word of God explains these things. And therefore, I wrote, and God gave me this literature, another Pearl Harbor, spelling these things out to where the a thinking person can look into it and see that these things are actually happening, that these things have happened and they're happening today. All the freedoms, the Bible says that all peace will be taken from off the earth, and that this one world government, cult, and media are situating things to the point that they feel that they're in control. But God is causing tsunamis. He caused this situation. They say it was a natural disaster. I even hear people that are in the ministry calling it a natural disaster, the thing that happened in New Orleans. That's no natural disaster. They were going to have a large homosexual parade over there, about 200,000 homosexuals, lesbians, and pimps, and prostitutes, and dopers, and dope peddlers, and every kind of sinful thing. They call it the Big Easy, but everyone that I ever knew called it Sin City, USA. But, you know, most of the cities in the United States and the world are just as sinful as New Orleans was, and so everyone can be expecting the same treatment from the Lord. If you read the Bible, you see that God promises these things. There's no such person as Mother Nature. God promises all these plagues, all the diseases and everything else. They say that New Orleans is now a bathtub. No, it's a cesspool, a septic tank. And that's what those people, I reckon the Lord believes that they deserve. And they're going to get worse. Now, I told you months ago, years ago, that this was going to be, things were going to get worse and worse. Well, was I right? They say this is the worst disaster that's ever hit the United States of America. They say it makes 9/11 look sick. So the people that are in the world government that are planning terrorism and destruction, they're not doing as good of a job as the Lord is. I told you that the Lord was a bigger terrorist.
Amen.
Than these terrorists, like these government agents in the White House and throughout the world are doing. He'll hit Washington or in many other places in the world. There's going to be a meteorite come down and destroy one-third of the world's population one of these days, and it'll happen suddenly. So suddenly you'll say, well, our different devices will tell when it's coming down. God can make this world be moved off of its axis to the point where all the mountains will disappear. Every building will be knocked down. You've heard of earthquakes, and he's got plenty of them going today, but you've never experienced a world quake yet. Get ready for it, because it's coming. All right? And so when Michelle here, Sister Michelle, mentioned another Pearl Harbor, that's a good piece of literature for you to read, because it tells how that the government can start a war by making it look that a alien has come in and bombed one of our treasures here in the United States, and then the media gets busy saying it's this person and that person, when in reality, it definitely was an inside job. There's government agents that are saying that. They know that it was. You see these federal agents running out of that building like rats before those missiles. They were not airplanes. They were missiles. Before those missiles hit that building, those twin towers. Same thing over at the in Oklahoma City, at the federal building there. And those federal agents got their kids out of there quick. They sashayed down the street real fast before, because they knew that thing was blowing up, and they had bombs in the World Trade Center on many different floors there. That was not, those missiles could not have pancaked those buildings down like that. And there's so many reports on that, qualified reports. A nephew of mine used to work for the demolition company that would blow down the buildings in Las Vegas and other places in the world. And he'd tell you that that thing, you could see it going off in the building just as you see them. We've seen the Dunes Hotel go down in Las Vegas and several other hotels over there. And it's like it just pancakes down just like those buildings did. It was a government job. It wasn't some guy hiding in a cave out there in the desert, in the wilderness over there in Arabia or someplace. I mean, you know, usually caves don't have phones and faxes and emails and all that sort of stuff in it. This raghead over there with the beard, you know, they're trying to make it look as though he was the one that did it. But the rumor is, how true it is, I don't know, but this, that this man has been dead for years. Died of some liver disease or something. I don't know, but I do know these things, that the Lord said these things would happen. And things, now that the government thinks that they've got control of everything, do they have control over New Orleans? And when they patch it back up, the Lord says, you'll build your cities, but I'll knock them back down again. Amen?
Amen.
He says, you'll plant gardens and trees and everything, and somebody else will eat them. He's going to save up the treasures of the wicked for the righteous. Amen?
Amen.
We'll be the ones that will be eating your oranges and apples and stuff from your orchards. And that's why I'm saying I pray that you'll get right with the Lord. We don't want to see things like this happen to people. And the Lord promised it, though. And so when people don't believe the Lord, well, then shame on you. Amen?
Amen.
Shame on you. All right. Now, let's finish the letter here.
He said, this one world government has got to stop! Exclamation point.
Well, don't worry, brother. The Lord's going to stop them. Okay?
Amen.
Man, we were going up from Nashville, Tennessee. We came up from Los Angeles, and we went up to Nashville, and then we started coming down here to Arkansas. And we saw these convoys of military trucks taking Andy Gumps out there, you know, these outdoor toilets and everything else. It just looked, my God, isn't this pitiful that they don't even have places to go to the bathroom? Now, the government really controlled that, didn't they? You're not going to control it either when the Lord comes, splits those eastern skies and you see him up there coming back to earth. The Bible says that all these weasels will be screaming and pleading to the top of their lungs, begging for the rocks and mountains to fall on them, to hide them from the wrath of the Lamb of God, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. Right there, that should tell you that God is not just a God of love, and it's not Mother Nature that's going to come that you're going to be praying to hide from. Does it say that you're going to be praying for the rocks and mountains to hide you from the wrath of Mother Nature?
No.
Or some natural disaster?
No.
It isn't natural, folks. It's supernatural. Amen?
Amen.
Supernatural. It's God Almighty that promises that. Pick up the Bible and read it for yourself. Well, you think the Bible is corny. No, you people that are wading up to your waist in dung and urine over there are corny.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You're worse than corny. Several busloads of them came over here to out in Arkansas, and they've got all kinds of scales and abrasions all over them from the filth. And the bus driver was saying that, he said, man, if I didn't get paid a lot of money, I would not be driving these rascals, because he says I don't even want to touch them. He says they got bumps and lumps and all kinds of diseases crawling on them, and they all went to the bathroom in their pants. They just didn't have any place to go to the toilet, and they're just doing it some more in the bus. And one of our brothers went on the bus to just witness to them and give them a tract. one of my pieces of literature, and he said the smell was so bad it almost knocked him over. That was one of the brothers. And so I wouldn't want to be in the shoes of the people out there that keep refusing the Lord. There was a commercial that says, it's not right to make Mother Nature angry, you know. No, it's not good that you should make God angry. And you people are angering God by declaring war against him. You've declared war against his word. You've yanked the word out of schools and put some fairy tale, some demonic fairy tale in there, this evolution business. And you've even taken his the name out of, I hear the judges now are saying, if you mention the name God in this court realm, I'm going to hold you in contempt of court and throw you in jail. Well, and they're doing that down in New Orleans. Well, the Lord closed the courtrooms down. And there's a lot of dead bodies running through the streets there. I'm just wondering if one of them is one of them judges. What do you think?
Amen.
Could be. Amen?
Amen.
There's so many dead that they can't even count. Those scoundrels, you just hate to see it. And we prayed and prayed and prayed that they'd get saved and that they'd start listening to the Lord and do what the Lord says, but they didn't. And here now they're frightened to death that one of these things will happen. Everybody's frightened. All peace has been taken from off the face of this earth. And even the White House and the United Nations, their little old Piper Cub flying overhead, and boy, they all ran out of there like cockroaches when you turn the light on. They just scampered because they know they're guilty. You know?
Mm-hmm.
The unrighteous flee, the ungodly flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are as bold as lions. If I'd have been there in the United Nations, you know, just witnessing to them or something, and they all started running like a bunch of rats out of out of some contaminated place, I'd have just sat there because I'm saved. And if something happened, somebody dropped a bomb on me, I'll be in heaven. And I thank and praise the Lord that he's given me the knowledge so that I can have the peace and assurance that I'm safe no matter what they do to me. And you ought to accept the Lord, you know, so that you have that same peace that passes understanding that we Christians have. And I'm not talking about the Bush kind of Christian, because he's not a Christian any more than the devil is. And I'm not talking about the Benny Hinn type of Christian. I'm talking about born-again Christians that have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit living in them, and that is doing a work of the Lord, and that's not preaching false doctrine and preaching that we're going to be raptured out of the tribulations, especially when the Lord says that we're not going to be raptured out of the tribulations, that we're going to be taken up immediately after the tribulations. So anyway, there's so much to talk about, so we better get into these letters and finish them off and get to the message now. Go ahead.
He continues, I've got to get this literature. The way Pastor Lamo has written the earthquake newsletter, I know the others are true. You've got to send me these fast. Please, will you? !! This man is full of the urgency of getting the truth out and was praising God for Pastor Lamo's exposure of the full truth. Praise God.
Right. Anybody that's really saved is going to be interested in getting these pieces of literature out to every person on the face of this earth. When you're just complacent and you sit at home and watch television and don't do anything about it, of course, you're not going to be bringing any souls up to the judgment bar of God. And God says every person that doesn't win souls, he uses a parable about any tree that doesn't bring forth fruit. Any person that doesn't win souls is going to be chopped down and cast into the fire. That goes for you. Now, if you can't preach, if you can't teach, you can certainly distribute this literature. And if you can't do that, you're a shut-in, an invalid, or something like that. You can sure try to recruit people by phone. If you can't talk, you can write something down and tell people, encourage them to distribute the literature, or you can tell people about the tapes. You can listen to the radio. And if you're deaf, some people call it deaf, there's something you can do, I'm sure. It may be a rare case where you can't see or hear or smell or taste, or maybe your legs are gone and everything else. The Lord knows all about that, but you could pray. Amen?
Amen.
And, you know, the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Because when God answers your prayer, he can do more in one flat nanosecond. That's about 100 millionths of a second. He can do more in one nanosecond than you could do in 100,000 lifetimes. All he has to do is just say, let there be a worldquake, and it's there. And then you government agents, what are you going to do when the telephone poles are coming down and your buildings that you're sitting in, they're so pompous and so secure? God wants you to be insecure. He wants you to come to him so that you can have true security. Amen?
Amen.
And joy and happiness and peace. Because peace will never be brought about by the New World Order, the One World Government, the Vatican, or any of that. The Vatican runs the United Nations. These people will never bring about peace. They're bringing the destruction is what they're bringing, and the media. Okay, then what?
The next letter?
Yes.
It's from Annandale, Virginia. Dear Sir, I heard your wonderful program on WWCR this morning. Thanks for your teaching. Bless you for being on the air. Sincerely, Mark Bush.
Okay, so is that one of the Bush family? Who knows? I don't. Well, I had 17 emails here from President Bush wanting me to tell him what to do in regard to the situation over in the Middle East, how to bring about peace, and that's what caused me to write the literature based on everything that the Bible says, that there is not going to be any peace, but the peace that God brings into a person's heart and will bring to Israel. The armies of the world government is going to send troops over there, and they're all going to be annihilated. And Mr. Bush said that they'd print that in their Washington paper. And so when I sent him the truth, he didn't print it. He lied. Of course, you know, they say all politicians lie, amen. Mm-hmm. We're praying for you, Mr. Bush. Don't tell people you're a Christian, because you give people the idea that Christians can bomb people. And the Bible plainly states that we can't use carnal weapons. Amen?
Yeah.
If you were a Christian, you would never do that, and you'd bring those troops back to the United States of America where they belong. They're getting killed over there like flies on a big lie that you responded to. They don't have a weapons of mass destruction over there. We're the as far as I know, we're the only ones in the world that have weapons of mass destruction. And so best thing to do is get saved and start doing what the Lord says. And if everybody in the government would do that, there wouldn't be any terrorists anymore. But because you won't, God's going to terrorize you. He's the supreme terrorist. The Apostle Paul said, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men to believe the gospel. You know, if the whole world could be against me, and I wouldn't fear, but to have the Lord against me, that would be the most terrifying thing to me in the whole world, because I've felt his anger before. I'm not saying that I haven't. I have felt it before, and that's what causes me. I can say as Paul does, knowing his anger, his terror, I serve the Lord. Okay, and I am not against anybody in this world. I'm wanting Mr. Bush, President Bush, and Dick Cheney, and all the people in the White House to get saved, and everybody in this whole world. We're praying, Father God, in the name of Jesus, give them some sense, Lord. Open their spirit and awaken them to your word. Father, in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, now what else?
The next letter's from Long Beach, California. Dear Pastor Alamo, I found a section of your newsletter on the ground while picking up trash. I was interested and blessed by what I read, but it was only a section with your address and how to reach you. You will know by this letter that when the Word of God goes out, even when someone throws it away as trash, God can blow this Word along the ground until a person who is thirsty for more of His kingdom finds it. Praise the Lord. Send me anything you can and the Messiah book, please. I'm thirsty. Your brother in Christ, P.S., do you print anything in Arabic, particularly to Muslims? Do you print anything in Cambodian, who are Buddhists? Please let me know, because I know plenty of them. Perhaps if they read something in their own language, the Spirit would convict. And he signs, Martin Longben.
Yes, we do print in Arabic, and all of our literature is being printed in every language that we know. I don't think we have Cambodian yet, though, so I've just instructed Maurice, who gets our translators together, get a Cambodian translator, and let's get that done. But we've got, what are some of the pieces of literature that we have in the Arabic language?
Dry Bones.
That's my testimony.
Peace in the Middle East. Another Pearl Harbor. New. Signs of the Times. God's Two Witnesses. And the Messiah Book.
Okay, so get all those to this gentleman. And he said he has a lot of them, so send him, at least a dozen or a couple dozen with a little note in there stating that if he wants more, just contact us and we'll send him. If he needs 100 or 1,000 of them, we'll send him. All right? And then get this, all our literature in Cambodian. I didn't know that they had a special language. Go ahead, let's go.
Next letter is from Zambia, Africa. Dear Pastor Alamo, holy and warm greetings in the blessed name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I am writing to say thank you very much for the life-changing literature and Bibles. Pastor, the best way to describe the Alamo Christian Ministries is this, quote, trout line evangelism, unquote. As any fisherman knows...
Trout line evangelism. Now, I'm up, I was raised in Montana, and trout line... I guess that's where they fish for trout. Well, the Lord said we're supposed to be fishers of men. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what is he saying?
As any fisherman knows, it is possible to fish with a single hook or a, quote, trout line, unquote. A trout line is a long, heavy fishing cord stretched across a portion of a river or a lake with many hooks and baits on it. The presumption is the more hooks in the water, the greater the chance of success. So I can say, the more literature distributed, the greater the chance of bringing many to Christ. And it is for that reason that our ministry is requesting for more literature and Bibles. I was very happy to find an enclosed note that you want to send me a t-shirt and a sweatshirt. My size is extra large, and large for my wife, Florence, and my co-workers wear medium. Pastor, you have a variety of literature and styles with the single purpose of reaching people for Jesus Christ. Now, coming to the tape department, I have received twice from your ministry. The message is so good and life-changing. Please keep it up. These Christian aid materials will help people not only to encounter Christ, but to grow in His grace and mercy, even to make them become all that God intends them to be. May it please the great Lord of the harvest, who in these last days of power is hastening His work of conversion and ingathering, to use His own word and His own gospel in the lips of His servants to win many to Himself. Yours in Christ, Lupambo Chisanga from Mansa, Zambia, Africa.
Okay, and that's it? All right. Now, you really have to put on your concentration now, because this message has got an awful lot of one-liners in it that are very important. Just like the bulk of Proverbs, have a lot of one-liners and two-liners in there, and you have to meditate on them, and so it would be real good for you to listen to this tape, or at least this portion of the tape, again and again, because it's really powerful. Now, this is has to do with the church being truthful. It must be truthful or genuine and exact. Okay, go ahead.
There's a problem in the church in regard to being genuine or exact or strict.
Or truthful. Strict. You must be strict. Okay? But yet, there's some people in the church that are strict. And they're not flexible at all. They're strict where they're not supposed to be. Like, I issued a... Some of the people were, their children were very unruly, so I told them, after the service, feed them, and then you got to go home, and it should be around 10 o'clock. Well, at 10 o'clock, the other one of the services ran till 10 o'clock in an evening, started at 8. Most of the times, the services end at 9 or 9:15, 9:30. And so three of the people, the women in the church, you know, they were just so strict. They says, she's got to be out of here at 10 o'clock. It's a rule. She's got to go and just send her home with and her children without being fed. Now, that you know, Brother Buster reported that in the, one of the churches out here, and that is not being flexible at all. Okay, because... 10 o'clock is no magic number, amen?
Amen?
Or isn't a godly number. They have to feed the children, and she has to eat too, and then she can go home, all right? So you have to be strict, all right, but when it comes to flexibility, you should become like Pharisees, you know, like you cannot heal somebody on the Sabbath day. Well, Jesus had totally ignored those people. They're wicked because there's no flexibility. They don't care whether a person gets healed or not. And they didn't realize that he was God, even though he was healing people and raising them from the dead. What more could God have done when he comes if it wasn't Jesus? Amen?
Amen.
Jesus did everything that only God could do. Amen?
Amen.
And people that are filled with God can do. All right, go ahead.
So the opposite of being genuine is false.
Yeah. Say, now, genuine leather, and if it's not real leather or genuine, well, then it's imitation. Amen?
Amen.
And so if you're not a genuine Christian, if the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is not in you and doing their work in you, and you're strict to the point of exasperation, to where there's no flexibility in you whatsoever... Then it becomes like a church becomes like a Hitler or a Pharisee, an evil cult. And you have, there is a flexibility, just as long as they're not sinning. Amen?
Amen.
And this is not sin to let somebody eat and have their children eat and let them go home, for God's sake. For your own sake, there's three of the people over there, three women, that reported them, you know, like they really did some great sin. And it's, well, okay, so you have to be strict, but flexible on matters like that. All right? Then what?
A person who pretends is not a genuine person.
Right, some people are just pretending to be Christians. And pretense will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Then what?
genuineness forms one's foundation.
Yeah, it's the base of your entire Christian life is being genuine, truthful, exact. Now, exact doesn't mean that you're so strict that you become like a cruel taskmaster. Exact means that the Lord says that, you know, let people breathe a little bit. Amen?
Amen.
But, you know, no sin or no one that is supposed to, if they start disputing the scriptures, that's a whole other story. Amen?
Amen.
But that should be given to the pastor. There are people in the church that are saying things to people and doing things to them that cause them to think that this is the most horrible place. This is like the churches all over the world, that this is these churches would be the most horrible place in the world, because God even doesn't make people he doesn't run people like robots. He likes to see if you're going to do his will or the will of your will or his will. Amen?
Amen.
So we got to see if they're really wanting to serve the Lord. Okay, then go ahead.
Being genuine, it forms their foundation and their base.
That's the same meaning. The base, the foundation of their whole Christian life. Then what? That's a genuine Christian that doesn't, you know, crack the whip over people. Then what else?
A person who is not genuine is without a foundation. They're baseless.
Yeah, because they're imitations. And the solid rock is our base, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
The Word of God is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we stand on that base or that foundation, the chief cornerstone. Then what?
They cannot be trusted with great responsibilities.
No, you just couldn't. You turn a church over to somebody like that, and that church would empty out so fast, it'd make your head swim. Then what?
Genuineness in character is the ability to sacrifice for others.
Right. In other words, you'd see that they haven't eaten, and you would say, oh, I know that, that there's a rule, you know, that this person has to go home at 10 o'clock, but I know Tony is flexible, or I know the pastor, wherever it is a flexible person and is a merciful person, so we're going to let the person eat, and the kids too. Amen?
Amen.
And we're not going to jam them and just, you know, be cruel to them, because then we're showing no mercy, and then we're going to get no mercy from the Lord. All right, then what?
Merely to be an honest person is not enough.
You can be honest, yet you can be cruel. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
It is not sufficient. A person must be genuine.
Yeah, because you can be honest, but you're not maybe a genuine Christian. The Spirit of the Lord is not operating in you. Oh, you just tell the truth, man, and you're brutally honest. But the Spirit of the Lord is not in you. Then it's of no value, your honesty. Then what?
A person who is not genuine may be welcomed by people initially, but the welcome will soon wear out. It will not last. Over a period of time, it is being genuine that will gain people's hearts to inspire others' confidences. One must possess genuine character. Most people who I know are loose. Few are really exact.
Yeah, I know so many people that just blubber and say things, or you'll ask them something and they'll tell you an untruth. They don't know for sure. They just want to answer something. They're not exact. They're not genuine. They're not truthful. You could not rely on them to tell you the truth. And sometimes they might be telling you the truth, but they tell you so many untruths. And they're not exact at all, and therefore, and you know they're not genuine, and so you can't trust what they say. because they've lied to you so many times. Truthfulness, that's what this is about here. Truthfulness, genuineness, exactness. So you can put your trust in what a person says. Then what?
They are not truly exact. A person who is punctual, they never procrastinate.
Yeah, if you're a punctual person, you don't make excuses. You know, the pit of hell is full of people that made excuses. Excuses won't get you into the kingdom of heaven. Exactness will. Okay, I mean being exactly merciful, but not to the point to where you let people sin. Okay, because that wouldn't be scripturally exact. Scriptural, would it?
No.
No, you have to rebuke and reprove sin, but you also have to be merciful. Alright, then what?
A person who is accurate in his words and deeds is dependable, and one who is precise in his work is trustworthy.
Right. Now, that is, you know, we have other people in the church like that, but I always like to use Buster is an example. I mean, he is reliable. Because when he tells he's going to do something, he does it. And there's no, it's for sure, if he says he's going to do it, it's done. I know that he's truthful. I know that he's genuine. Therefore, I know he's genuine because he's exact. He prides himself in being exact. And I do too. All right? I feel a real strong kindred spirit with him and others in the church. I can tell them to do things, and they'll do it. I know the Lord has told me to do, and that the Lord is leading me to do, and they'll join right in with me. Most of the people in this church will do that. But there are a few offenders. Then what?
He is not only trustworthy, but he is a very rare person.
Right, an exact person. Is very rare. And some people don't care if they're rare or exact or truthful. They just they don't care what their testimony is. And eventually they will fall away or God will give them some dreaded disease and they'll be gone. You can run on for a long time, but God Almighty's going to cut you down. And then what? Eventually, and you know, New Orleans went on for a long time. I'd cut them down. Amen?
Amen.
That's a whole major city in the United States that's over with. Okay, then what else?
Rare and precious is a person who is perfectly accurate. We can be the same thing, like genuineness and tightness make up a person who has exactness, which in turn is manifested in strictness.
Yeah, a genuine person, a truthful person, and an exact person, they are absolutely strict. They're not going to let you change the policy of the church. Or they're not going to, if they have a chain of food places like McDonald's, somebody in there is extremely strict to be running that organization to where everything is done exactly the same way, no matter what, how many thousand stores you go to. You're going to get that burger or chicken sandwich, whatever you're getting, it's going to be the same. Amen?
Amen.
And them fries are going to be the same. Not that I'm saying eat that stuff, because I don't. Okay, but you can see that there's somebody in there making sure that the quality, however poor it is, it's the same. However poor, however good. I don't want to knock it. You know, it's just, but a lot of people are catching diabetes from that stuff. All right, then what else?
A person who is genuine.
And heart trouble. Then what else?
A person who is genuine and tight is also strict.
Very strict. And some people think that strictness is a sin. It is the exact opposite. Strictness is of the Lord. The Lord's very strict. Okay, then what?
A person who is loose, his looseness leads to inaccuracy. A person who is exact is always strict.
Always. Okay, then what?
The secret to a punctual person is his strictness. Only by being...
Yeah. You have to discipline yourself to be strict. You have to discipline yourself to be disciplined by the Holy Spirit. And God isn't just going to do it. You have to do it. You have to make yourself be led by the Holy Spirit. You must discipline yourself, because if you don't, no one else will. Unless you're in prison or a concentration camp someplace, or someplace that just absolutely rides herd on you. But, you know, a person that's of the Lord, they're going to discipline themselves to be strict. They have to discipline themselves first. They have to be strict with themselves first, or else no one else will let you be strict with them if they see that you're not strict with yourself. Okay, go ahead.
Only by being strict can a person be genuine and exact.
Right. If you're not strict, you cannot be truthful, genuine, or exact. If you're not strict, you have to be strict with yourself in order to make yourself truthful, genuine, exact, precise. Okay, then what?
Very few people who I know are diligent. Most prefer leisure to labor.
Right. I think everybody can say that. You know, people like leisure rather than labor. The Bible says for us to work on this side of eternity, and we've got an eternity to rest. Amen?
Amen.
Don't try to kick back here. Now, it's all right to take some rest, Sabbath, but don't make a career out of it, right?
Right.
Okay, then what?
Once a person becomes lazy, there is no way that he can accomplish anything. In the book of Romans, Romans 12, verse 11, says, "Be not slothful in zeal."
Right. Now, let's just, you know, let's paraphrase there, but go ahead and let's read it.
Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord.
Okay, fervent in spirit. Now read what I put down there.
Be not slothful in zeal.
Okay. Fervent in spirit. That means in God's business. You didn't read the whole thing. To be full of zeal in God's business. Okay. Be not slothful in business means God's business. It doesn't mean, you know, that you're running a McDonald's stand. Even you shouldn't be... anything other than zealous in running that business. But still, it's the Lord's business that the Lord is talking about. If a person doesn't work, they shouldn't eat. You're not to let them eat if they don't work. Okay, go ahead.
In the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 6:6 says, quote, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise," unquote.
In other words, they do the work that the Lord caused them to do. And people, because they discipline themselves to do it, an ant, you'll never see them just laying around. Amen?
Amen.
And the Lord has a work for every born-again Christian to do. And they have to get up and get going. Otherwise, they're slothful. They're not genuine. They're not truthful. They're not exact. They're not precise. They're not Christians. Okay, then what?
You might ask, why do laziness, gluttony, and sleep go together? Titus 1:12. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, "The Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies."
Okay, read that statement again, then go to the next part. You should have went...
You might ask, why do laziness, gluttony, and sleep go together? It is because all lazy people pity and love themselves, and thus naturally love to eat and sleep.
Right, and lazy people and those that love themselves and feel sorry for themselves are drunks. They just feel so sorry for themselves, and they have no mercy on any other people. Because you'll see drunks leave their children, they'll spend the money on alcohol or drugs. and their children will be starving and going without clothes. All they care about is themselves. And I've witnessed that down through the years because there were those kind of people in my family. They didn't care about their kids. All they cared about was themselves. All right, then what?
However, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10 states, if any does not want to work, neither let him eat.
Okay, just leave. We can go on to the next.
Okay. All four of these points that I've mentioned here are related to dealing severely with yourself. The Lord doesn't want us to be full of self. But
no, you have to deal severely with yourself, not just a little bit. But some people are just too lazy, or they figure that God's going to give them a pass. When you know the truth and you don't do what the truth is, then you're rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, you're going to have headaches, stomach problems, cancer in the lungs, aorta problems, heart bypasses, every kind of disease under the face of the sun. Something will happen to you or one of your loved ones. And so you have to be severe with yourself, because God is going to be severe with you if you're not. And if you think that's funny, listen, I've felt the wrath of God, the actual anger of God on me before on two or three different occasions, and it wasn't anything nice, and I would hate to run into God or to stand before him with anger against me. I'd hate it. I would just, I wouldn't care if he kills me, just don't send my soul to hell in the lake of fire. Then what? And if the righteous scarcely make it into the kingdom of heaven, where do you that are unjust, that you think that you can get by with something that you've never won a soul, never made an attempt to win a soul, you treat people like crazy, terrible, and also you cause other people to fall. It's better that a millstone that is turned by an ox would be hanged around your neck and that you'd be thrown into the sea than it would be for you to offend one of the littlest of the Lord. That means offending them means to lead them astray, to cause them to want to leave the church or cause them to want to leave the service of the Lord. Okay, then what?
The Lord doesn't want us to be full of self, but he wants us to be selfless. We have to deal with ourself to become selfless. So it's easy for a person who possesses the kind of character I've mentioned to become narrow. He must therefore pay attention by having a broad character. There is a saying, an expression that means, quote, ocean, unquote. The word, quote, broad, unquote, means, quote, ocean, unquote. To illustrate a person's capacity to be as large as the ocean, quote, and God gave Solomon largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore, unquote, 1 Kings 4:29. Since sand compasses the sea, the biblical requirement concerning broadness is greater than that conveyed by this expression that I've just mentioned.
Right, the whole bottom of the ocean is sand, and all around the ocean is sand. Amen?
Amen.
And then what?
The impact of a person's life work has a lot to do with his being either broad or small. A petty person can never accomplish great things at all. A person with a broad capacity often fails to be kind, leading to negligence and inevitable loss. A person ought to be broad, but not unrefined, fine, but not small.
Yeah, okay, then what? Read that again.
A person ought to be broad, but not refined. Fine.
Yeah, you don't necessarily have to be refined. John the Baptist wasn't what you call refined. I'm not what you call a refined person. But, you know, I love to get the gospel out all over the world. Amen? And I fear the Lord. And it isn't the refined people that's going to make it into the kingdom of God. Jesus himself, in the world's terminology, would be called crude because he called people snakes, vipers, pigs, dogs, you're the children of the, your father is the devil. That's crude to the goody-goody two-shoes over here that run these goody-goody churches, that God is just goody-goody. No, he's good, all right, to those that are, that love him and keep his commandments, but he's a terrorist to everyone else. Okay, then what?
A person ought to be broad, but
and he's
not
crude, too. You done seen what he did to New Orleans, didn't you?
Amen.
And the tsunami over there in Indonesia? Okay, that's pretty crude. Well, but, you know, they're saying ecology is the main thing. Well, they keep the streets so clean and everything, God just messes it up for them. God don't care anything about ecology. Amen?
Amen.
He's got them waiting around in dung and urine. Okay, so he just messes everything up. He's so uncouth, most people would think. These people that are just anti-God. The more you're anti-God, folks, the more he's going to splatter you. Okay?
Amen.
You just, if you haven't figured it out yet, well, there's more to come. More to come. Okay, then what?
A person ought to be broad, but not unrefined. Fine, but not small. To be stable is to be solid and not easily moved. We have a lot of people who are not stable. Again, to be stable is to be solid, not at all easily moved. When a person is stable, he is not panicky. A person who is stable is not hasty or anxious.
Well, wait a minute. Now read that about not being panicky. We're talking about the UN people. They saw pictures of them just scattering like a bunch of cockroaches. Now, wait a minute. Are they panicky?
Yes.
Yeah. And just a little old Piper cub or an Aranca flying overhead. I imagine that soon they'll be running out like that if a pigeon flies overhead. Or maybe a little couple of sparrows. They'll think it's the dive bombers or something. Read that again.
When a person is stable, he is not panicky. A person.
So that means they're unstable because they know that they're wrong, that they're doing evil. That's why a lot of these people are resigning, because there is some good people in there. And we're praying that, you know, even though they're not good, the Lord came to save you, not good people. Amen?
Amen.
So I'm not trying to condemn you because you're already condemned. I'm trying to win your soul. Amen?
Amen.
Lord came into this world because it was condemned. He's not trying to condemn you. He's trying to win your souls. The more you reject him, the more condemned you're going to be.
Don't fail to tune in tomorrow for the continuation of this message, Truthfulness, Genuineness, Exactness.